CinemaJaw is brought to you by the Chicago Podcast Co-op and Basecamp. When you use Basecamp to run projects, people know what to do, people know where things are, and you stay on top of everything all the time. And we thank them for their support. You're listening to CinemaJaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location. This week, we are at C2E2, Chicago's Comic and Entertainment Expo. My name is Matt Fay, and with me is
Ryan, the movie guy, and sitting alongside us is our engineer and local filmmaker, Elias Rodriguez.
How's it going, bronies?
Bronies? Wrong con.
Oh, sorry.
No, there's some bronies here.
There are, technically.
You took a picture with them.
I did.
Yeah.
This week on CinemaJaw, Matt, as you mentioned, we are at C2E2, so we get our geek on a little bit, right?
You need to, Ryan.
I really don't.
No, you really do.
No. I mean, I've just talked comic book and superheroes with Tim Seeley about 3 episodes ago,
yeah.
And that was enough for me. And now right away we have Chicago's Comic-Con.
It just sort of fell that way in the calendar.
It did,
yeah.
Unfortunately. But we're not just going to concentrate on comic movies.
You have fun.
No, I do. It is grown on me. I do like
good.
Walking around and seeing everybody dressed up. The fat Superman, the pregnant Lois Lane.
Sure.
They're very goofy costumes out here.
Indeed.
Everybody's having some fun. I do enjoy it to a degree. But at the end of it, it's like, enough. I've had my superhero fill. You know what I mean?
I do.
But Matt, we're not just covering our comic book movies here. We're actually doing a summer movie preview as well.
I'm really excited. This is my time to shine.
And when we're at C2E2, we better get a pretty cool guest, right? Because you got a
yeah.
bunch of celebrities in-house.
Tons. And we have Ming Chen from Comic Book Men, I Sell Comics podcast. He's just doing a lot of stuff all over the internet and TV. Excited to talk to him later.
So am I. I can't wait to talk to Ming. He got his big break with doing a fan site for Clerks.
Yeah, back in the 90s.
Which is hilarious.
I know.
And Kevin Smith sort of discovered him, and then from there his career just took off.
I know.
Can't wait to talk to Ming and just hear what's going on with the TV show and everything.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to some of the fans here at C2E2, get their reactions to the summer movies.
Yeah, and hear what they have to talk about when it comes to Batman versus Superman. Pretty interesting.
It's going to be interesting.
As we say, we got a jam-packed jaw as always, but we got a lot going on, don't we, Elias?
Yes, that is right. We are, in fact, going eye for an eye on Batman v Superman.
And we have a review of 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yes, we do. And Matt, big news this week, Indiana Jones 5 has been announced.
Yes.
Harrison Ford is
huge.
Coming back. This is ridiculous.
No.
Yeah. What?
This is awesome.
Oh, are you joking?
Oh, man, yes, absolutely.
You cannot be serious.
They can't
go
out.
You did not like Crystal
Skull.
No,
no, I didn't like Crystal Skull. No.
5 is going to be even worse.
It's going to be better, thank God.
Oh, my God.
Cinema War.
Whew. We're going to ask Ming, okay? We're going to ask Ming to judge that
one. Okay, fine, and he's going to find me correct.
Hey, we'll see. We'll see. I think Ming is going to be on my side on that one. Plus, Matt, it's
he's going to be merciless.
We've had an intern on the show now, Phil,
yeah.
who's been amazing. He's been working with us and doing some great work in the editing room. He's sort of a comic dork, right?
I think that's fair to say.
All right. He likes his comics. You like his comics. And because Batman,
I don't like his comics.
Because we're
like
going
comics.
Eye for an eye on Batman versus Superman,
mm-hmm.
we are going to take Phil and pair him against you in trivia this week as
okay.
we play Batman, Superman, actor movie trivia. Think of actors who have played those two superheroes.
I think I'm going to dominate Phil on this one.
Can't wait.
He's also about 20 years younger than me.
Yeah, so he won't know,
right.
Adam West.
It will be interesting.
Maybe
but we are talking cinematically, so no Adam West.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe
was a movie.
There was a movie.
Yeah.
See what a neophyte this guy is at the Comic-Con?
Tough crowd.
He doesn't know anything. Yeah. Newbie.
So, Matt, let's get this cape flapping in the wind with Eye for an Eye.
Eye for an Eye. Batman versus Superman. Dawn of Justice. Fearing the actions of Superman are left unchecked, Batman takes on the Man of Steel while the world wrestles with what kind of superhero it really needs. With Batman and Superman fighting each other, a new threat, Doomsday, is created by Lex Luthor. It's up to Superman and Batman to set aside their differences, along with Wonder Woman, to stop Lex Luthor and Doomsday from destroying Metropolis. The film stars Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, Amy Adams, Jesse Eisenberg, and Gal Gadot. The film is directed by Zack Snyder, who has also directed Man of Steel and Watchmen. We throw it over to Rye.
Matt, this is going to shock you.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
I am actually interested in Batman versus Superman.
That is shocking.
It is. And I'm just going to hit a couple of reasons why. Number one, I'm not a big fan of Ben Affleck being cast as Batman. And I don't like that he's just joining sort of the Superman franchise right now. It's a brand new Batman. I wish we'd almost had a standalone Batman first.
No. Okay.
I'm saying what I would have liked.
Okay, fine.
But what does have me interested here, believe it or not, is actually the appearance of Wonder Woman. She has not been shown on the big screen ever. Am I correct on this?
That is correct, yes.
I'm only familiar with her from the television show, so I've never
Linda
read...
Linda Carter version, yes.
Only one that I know is Linda Carter, so I've never read... Never read any of the comics, but we had just had Tim Seeley on, as I had mentioned at the top, and we talked about female superheroes, and there hasn't been one that's ever been the lead character, it seems. I mean, they tried it with Elektra, and there's been some here or there, but misses. I think Wonder Woman has the chance to break that and sort of become the premium woman superhero, and she's a wonderful character, is she not?
No, I absolutely agree.
So I'm interested. Are you?
No, I agree with you. I think that I am interested as well. Not strictly because of Wonder Woman whatsoever. I'm getting down with wanting to see Superman and Batman fight. You know, your reasons are valid, and I agree, but that's not why I'm interested. I'm just interested.
Well, I do think it's sort of funny because you have read the comics, so I think you're coming at it from a little bit different of an angle where you already know that this has taken place. And I even approached you, I don't know, many weeks ago when the trailer first came out and asked you why Batman was wearing that silly suit that we see in the trailer. Because as a non-comic guy, I have no idea why he's got this humongous, what would you call it, like a cast iron suit?
No, it's sort of like the Bat Iron Man thing he's got going on, yeah.
But you already know because you've read the comics and that has something to do with fighting Superman.
Yeah, so. No, Batman came out in Dark Knight Returns with that suit on. It's a throwback.
Do you think it was a mistake to let everyone know that ultimately the villain here is Doomsday and that it isn't just a Batman?
Do I think that was a mistake? No. Do I think Doomsday looks ridiculous? Yes. He really looks bad. The CGI is way over the top and I'm very nervous about how they pull off Doomsday, fearing it's going to suffer from Spider-Man 3-itis.
Interesting. Throw it over to Elias. What, are you excited for this movie?
I am interested in seeing the train wreck of how many characters they're going to cram into in 2 hours and 30 minutes. Aquaman, right? He's also coming on.
Yep. That's what I hear.
Yeah, Doomsday looks ridiculous. Judging from the trailers, you could tell he's going to come in after Batman and Superman actually fight, obviously. And then Wonder Woman somehow just going to come right in there. And I just feel like it's going to be a jam-packed...
A jam-packed jaw?
Last couple of 45 seconds there, or 45 minutes there. So I'm interested in seeing... I'm still on this. I'm bringing up old history here, Jawheads, about, what was it, Man of Steel? The big argument we had?
Oh,
yeah. Lasted an entire summer.
Matt Kay loved Man of Steel. I disliked it.
I hated it. I think it was a pile of poo. Superman, he had a wonderful time in the 80s with Christopher Reeve at the perfect time for special effects, and everything was right for Superman. I think he's sort of gone now in the sense of all these special effects. We see guys fly around and do everything. That's what was sort of special about Superman when the movies first came out. I don't know. Man of Steel did not work for me at all. I don't like this new version of the darker Superman. I'm interested in this one. We'll see the fighting. We'll see Wonder Woman. Be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Matt, it'd be foolish to be at C2E2, do eye for an eye, and not get some of the reactions of these super fans out here. I mean, people are dressed up like every
character
in the books.
We gotta talk to these people.
So let's throw it out to the jawheads that are just roaming around this convention floor and see what they think. Are they interested, or are they going to ignore Batman versus Superman?
All right, my name is Phil. I'm from Indiana. And the question is, if I'm interested or could care less about Batman versus Superman, I'm going to mark myself as interested because... it's a comic movie. I want to give every comic movie a fair shot before I can establish an opinion. I want DC to succeed as a movie franchise. The more successful they are as far as movies, the more they'll bring people to their comics and their other entertainment forms. I'm a big Superman fan. I feel like there's a lot of good stories they can pull from. He just needs that one big successful movie to get that momentum going and then get people demanding more Superman. And then hopefully we'll just keep branching on into other properties. I'm really excited for Wonder Woman. I know that wasn't the question, but I feel like she's going to steal the show in there as well. So I'm for it.
Hi, my name's Kelly. I am from Carpentersville, Illinois, and I am dressed as Rey from the new Star Wars because she is awesome. And I'm very interested in Batman versus Superman. It looks like an awesome movie with, you've got Wonder Woman in there. It's super cool. So I'm very excited for that to come out. Oh, you're asking me to choose between Batman and Superman as Henry Cavill. That's pretty tough as a woman, not going to lie.
Rex Fenner from Chicago, and I'm ignoring the movie. Just being disappointed how all the comic book movies have been just not disappointing. Like, they're geared towards the Hollywood gore and not towards the comic book fan. So I'm not having an interest.
All right, we're at C2E2 with Batman himself. And the question of the day is, are you interested or ignoring the new Batman versus Superman film?
Absolutely interested in watching it, to watch myself kick Superman's ass.
Benjamin from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm closer to ignoring than interested.
Why?
Because DC has sucked up every last movie they've done recently.
Spencer from Madison, Wisconsin. We've never seen these characters in a movie at the same time before. And I think the big X factor that a lot of people are really excited for is Wonder Woman.
Andrew from Madison, Wisconsin. And I am definitely interested in seeing Batman v Superman because I cannot wait to see the interactions and how it all ends up.
Hi, my name is Jacob Halton. I'm from Chicago. And I'm going to see Batman versus Superman. I think it's going to be really cool. But I'm just sick of people judging the movie before it's even out as if they've seen it. Stop, please.
Hey, this is Mel Harris from Chicago. I will be seeing Batman vs. Superman just because I want to see if the back of my head is going to be in it, as I was an extra on the film a couple times. Other than that, go Wonder Woman.
Name's Matt Davis from Newman, Illinois. And I'm interested. Well, I want to see if Batman can actually pull anything out to actually beat Superman, besides a little green rock.
Ah, good stuff.
Man. Always.
Yeah. I mean, the people at C2E2, interesting to say the least.
Yeah, there's a lot of very interesting people here.
Speaking of new movies, Matt, 10 Cloverfield Lane. And yeah, let me say this, John Goodman turns in one of the best performances of his career. Matt and I hung out in an underground bunker and checked out the film.
No! No! No, no! No! Don't open that door! You're going to get all of us killed!
Something's coming.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead plays Michelle. The film opens with her in a car crash. When she awakes, she is in an underground bunker with Howard, played by John Goodman, and Emmett, played by John Gallagher Jr. Howard tries to explain to her that he took her into the shelter to save her life from the outside world that is now under attack. The movie is very manipulative, and that is what makes it so much fun. You never know if John Goodman is telling the truth or if he is just a wacko who likes to kidnap young ladies. Much like Panic Room, the movie supplies well-thought-out plans by the characters as Michelle tries to figure out the truth and ultimately tries to escape. The last chapter of the film is going to divide fans. Some will be turned off, while others will eat it up with a spoon. Matt, get me a spoon. I loved 10 Cloverfield Lane. Did you feel the same?
Yeah, but I'm not sure for completely the same reason. So the last act did leave me a little cold. But everything leading up to that, oh my God, I agree. John Goodman at his absolute best. And it's been a while since we've seen him at his absolute best. Oh my God, I love this movie. And I think what you're going to walk away with, just because you're paranoid, don't mean they're not after you.
I actually was going to go as far as to say John Goodman turns in the best performance of 2016. I think he actually has an outside chance already an Oscar nomination.
Really?
I really do.
That's a little strong.
No, man. I don't think so. He was excellent in this film. He was that good.
Yeah, what about the other actors?
Yeah,
anybody else?
Well, you know what?
It's really a small cast.
It really is. I mean, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who I know from the movie Smashed, where she was opposite Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad, excellent small film. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. And that's really where I know her from best. And she's one of these actresses that I think is right on the cusp of being something way bigger. You know,
yeah.
I think we're going to get to know this actress really well. She was excellent.
She was good.
And John Gallagher Jr., I'm not that familiar with him as well. I thought he was great as Emmett. Just having three characters in your movie, you better have some strong writing. You better have three interesting characters that you care about, or you're not going to last a movie that's an hour and 40 minutes, and they made that work.
No, I agree, but this is the John Goodman show, and I think that the movie really breathes the best when it sort of slows down. There's a montage, and we get to see the characters just interacting. Everything's sort of going okay in this scene, in this moment. I really think that was my favorite part of the movie. They're eating ice cream. They're playing board games. They're living down in this bunker. For me, that worked the best. I thought that was the most fun moment. I almost wanted them to be happy as a little family.
You wanted it to work out for them.
I kind of did. Yeah, of course, you know, there has to be conflict, so it's not going to work out, and I knew that. I love that montage. I love that moment, and I think that was my favorite beat of the film. Because you're right, Ryan, the last act, she does try to escape, and that's right in the trailer. That part was really fun. The very last scene, and not giving anything away, is going to divide fans. It's really going to, and I think it divided people right in my theater while I was watching it. I could hear some moans and groans, and I could hear some claps, too.
I loved it. See, the whole idea, I think a lot of people are going to go in this, be like, oh, it had me thinking one way, and then you sort of switch your...
Yeah. You switch gears.
Yeah, switch gears.
There's some and plot twists.
I like that, though. And I know that it was playing with our minds. It's okay to know, like, is the outside world actually under attack or isn't it under attack? Is John Goodman crazy or is he sane or what's going on? That's all part of the fun, right? It was a very enjoyable movie for me. I think mainly because Goodman pulled it off so well. I just ate it up with a spoon. And
I did too.
The set design of the bunker too. You really got to know the bunker. And we're talking like they got to go in the air ducts at one point, and you just get to know their environment, which I think they really captured pretty well. Sometimes these movies don't quite get that, where the bunker, and it sounds so generic to say, was a character in the movie, but this one, it really was. You know this bunker. The other highlight that I wanted to mention, as we always do pros and cons, Matt, a big time pro here was when they were playing charades, and John Goodman has this wonderful moment where he is describing a movie, but it is also describing sort of a hatched plan that the other two characters
have
going on.
I know what you're doing. I see you when you're sleeping.
Wonderful moment. I mean, I wanted to applaud after the charades. It was so funny.
Oh, yeah. That was a good moment. Agreed.
Isn't it a sequel to Cloverfield? We had mentioned even here on Cinema Jaw when we went eye for an eye on the film that it's just a sort of a kindred spiritual sister of the movie.
Right.
And it really is. I mean, it has nothing to do technically with Cloverfield, the movie that we know.
Yeah. So I wonder if they're going to be doing an anthology now, which I think would be okay. I really like the fact that Cloverfield has become this name brand, and J.J. Abrams waited long enough to release this movie, built up the mystique, and did it so well. I knew nothing going in about what was going to happen in 10 Cloverfield Lane. Now it's become a catchphrase, hasn't it?
It sure has.
So, yeah, I think great job with Cloverfield as a brand.
I'm going 3.5 Jaws on 10 Cloverfield Lane. Yourself?
Yeah, 3.5 Jaws. This is one to seek out and make sure you definitely see.
I agree. You will enjoy it for sure, Jawheads. Check out 10 Cloverfield Lane, 3.5 Jaws from both Matt Kay and Rye the Movie Guy. All right, Matt, let's go talk to Ming Chen.
Oh, totally excited to talk to Ming Chen. This guy is one of the podcasters on the Smodcast Network, of course on I Saw Comics, and he's one of the stars of Comic Book Man, a great reality show about Kevin Smith's comic book store. Let's talk to Ming.
Ming Chen, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Thank you very much.
Ming, let's kick it all the way back to 1996. You sort of got your lucky break. I don't want to say lucky break, but your big break. Making a fan site for Clerks.
Oh, no, it was lucky.
It was lucky? Okay.
It was definitely lucky.
You knew some HTML, and how'd that go? Tell us the story.
I was, you ever sit around and you're just really bored and it's snowing outside, you're stuck inside, you got nothing better to do?
I live in Chicago, yes.
Yeah, and this was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, so not too far off.
Yeah.
And I was bored and decided to create a Clerks fan website.
This was back when nobody was coding websites.
Yeah, very, very, very few. And my goal was to have maybe Kevin Smith see it and send me an email. I was like, hey, that looks really cool. Thanks. And he did sort of do that. He found the site. He was at an internet cafe when those existed.
Yeah.
But instead of just sending me a thanks, he was like, hey, I love what you did. I'm starting a production company. I'm about to make this movie called Chasing Amy. I want a site for my whole production company. You look like you know what you're doing. Will you help me out? And that was 20 years ago, and here I am now on a TV show with him on AMC after The Walking Dead. It's and podcasting with you guys here at C2E2. It's weird how life works.
I know. That's one of the best slots on television, too, right after The Walking
Dead. It's got to be the best. I can't think of anything better.
Yeah.
So what was it about Clerks that put you over the edge to actually make a website about that particular movie?
It spoke to me. At the time, I was working a minimum wage job in college. It was a video store / arcade. It was a combination. And it was so low rent, we only got one copy of every new movie that came in.
So you were kind of living it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Clerks came in one day. I heard it was funny. Instead of checking it in and letting everybody else enjoy it, I grabbed it, took it home, watched it, loved it, and it changed my life.
And what's so funny is that I think when we look back at all of Kevin Smith's movies, those early ones, when we're talking Clerks, Chasing Amy, it didn't just have an effect on one or two people. It created an entire culture around his films and a fan base like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, it spoke to, they were calling it slackers back then. I don't know if they use that word anymore. That just kind of culture where we were just, we didn't know what we wanted to do. A lot of people just sat around smoking weed and they didn't want careers. They lived in their parents' house still, and they were working dead-end minimum-wage jobs at convenience stores, or in my case, a video store. It was great. The other people influenced were the filmmakers. There was no indie film then. Barely was him and Tarantino, and he definitely showed that, you know, get a little bit of money together, get some friends together. Like, you can make a movie. Like, if I can do this, you can do this. And that's exactly what happened.
I'm curious, though. I mean, this was before Squarespace, before WordPress, like way back. We're getting internet nerdy here, but I'm curious. Have you saved that original fan site for Clerks?
Oh, yeah. I still have it.
You have it?
I still have it. I think if you search, it's the one we still have now. Kevin said, don't change a thing. It's part of history.
Really?
But yeah, it was hand-coded. Little Photoshop editing. Not very minimal.
I'll be honest. I haven't visited it, so I got to check
it
out.
It's very bare bones, but it's kind of like the Clerks version of a website, though. Kind of, not, you know, low budget, but not messy. It's laid out,
you know, I
for
feel
the
like
time
I,
pretty well, and yeah, it was cool.
Maybe I have seen it because I must have over the years, but I'm gonna go check it out. What's the URL of it?
It's viewskew.com/clerks.
Okay, so,
or you can do a Google search, but it's there. Yeah.
I think one of the wonderful things about Kevin Smith is how genuine of a guy he is. And I think that comes over to the fans as well. We sort of see the guy in front of the camera, or when you see him speaking, that's really Kevin Smith. Is that the case?
Yep, that is absolutely the case. Yeah, he's just he's relatable. He's a fanboy, he's a comic book lover, comic book writer, loves the same movies we do, loves Star Wars, loves the same TV shows we do, and he loves podcasting.
And that brings us to podcasting. You have three very popular podcasts.
Well,
I mean, that's all you do is podcast, I tell you.
You guys know how it is. It's so much fun. Like, I would do it all the time if I could.
Yeah.
And it's just, I get to talk about whatever I love. I get to talk about anything. I don't have some guy tell me, he's like, no, you can't say this. You have to say this. You have to take a break here.
Right.
There's so much freedom. But in the end, I don't do anything unless it's fun. And podcasting is definitely fun.
Which was the first podcast that got started? I Sell Comics
was the first one that got started.
And that's the most popular? That's like the flagship as far as Ming Chen goes?
Of anything I do, yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. And Mike and I just launched another podcast called The Ming and Mike Show, where we're like, you know what? Let's start our own feed. Let's start our own show where we just talk about anything we want. So, yes. And that's exactly what we did. We've included our friend Mark Costello, who actually works part-time in the store. He's kind of like the seventh Beatle, I guess you could say.
All right.
And yeah, sometimes you just find that guy where you know he's got these weird stories from the past, mm-hmm. but you kind of have to dig it out of him. And Mark is that guy. So
he's our Elias.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Now, what's interesting is, like you said, you record these podcasts in the comic book store.
Yeah.
Is it during work hours or people walking in?
We do sometimes, and other times we'll just record before the store opens. We'll roll in about 9:30 in the morning. Grab some coffee.
It's so awesome.
Podcast for an hour and a half. Store opens at 11, so we know that's kind of our cutoff time, and that's just how it happens. And it's cool. So we're in the back of the comic book store. There's a beat up table on there. If you watch the show, that's where we actually podcast. That's where a lot of Smodcast itself got started. And you're there. You're talking to your friends. You don't really think about the reach it has. You know how far out it gets. Because in the moment, you're just talking to your friends. I don't know where or how you do it. Probably very, you know, kind of insulated. But once you get out, and I have the fortune of going to these cons, and I hear people like, hey, I love the podcast. I heard the podcast, and I'm like, where are you, you know, they're from like Des Moines, Iowa.
Isn't that weird how that happens?
Yeah, or, you know, like they're from like Bulgaria or something.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It is. It's one of the best things about podcasting.
Yeah, and last year there was a Jawhead from South Dakota, Allison Jones, who came to C2E2 and met up with us. And yeah, it was our own little...
It's just really cool, the people you can reach just by talking into a microphone.
So yes or no, do you have the greatest job in the world?
Oh yeah, by far. By far. There's no doubt about it. You will not hear me complaining.
So tell us a little bit about Comic Book Men, the reality show that you're on right now, which obviously also comes out of the same store. How'd that get started and where's it going?
It got started, originally I think AMC had wanted to do a fill-in show between seasons of The Walking Dead. They wanted to...
Crazy.
Yeah, this was after the first season, so it did well, but it wasn't like Walking Dead like it was now.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, we want to keep these people's interest. Walking Dead based on a comic book. Let's do something comic book
related. Makes sense.
Let's keep that audience. And
right.
So they're like, well, who would you... Who knows something about comic books? They went to King Geek himself, Kevin Smith. Like, hey, we were thinking about doing this TV show. What would you do? It's like, well, you know that show Pawn Stars? I would do that, but focus it on comics and toys. Just do comics and toys. Do geek items. You know, the Marvel movies are hot right now. Geek stuff will always be cool. And it's on the rise. That's how I would do it.
Yeah.
And, that's kind of got started that way. The funny part was originally they're like, well, all right, where would you shoot this? He's like, oh, let's scour the country. We'll find a really cool-looking comic book store. We'll find four really funny guys that, you know, that can command a presence to put on the show. Like, never telling them that he had his own store, that they could shoot there.
Yeah.
They didn't even know he had a store.
He kept that secret.
Until he mentioned it about a year later. They're like, hey, why don't you shoot at my store? Like, you have a store? Like, why didn't you mention this a year ago, you dumbass? Yeah.
He was trying to be humble, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, and, so and, very lucky.
And prior to the television show, like, how much involvement did you have in comics? Like, were you that big into it? Like,
I was,
Matt loves comics. Yeah. I'm not so much. Where'd you fit?
I think I'm, like, where you are. Like, I read comics as a kid, kind of fell out. I discovered Little League, girls, high school, college. So I fell in and out. Think about Walt and Mike on the show. They never left. They never fell out. They continue to read. They're geniuses. They know... They can pick out specific panels, artists, pages. Like they know these books forwards and backwards, the history.
They live it. Yeah.
They live it. So and they're great teachers to have. So I got back into it a few years back. I think now's a great time to be back into it. And I'm not as knowledgeable as they are, but I think I have it's as much fun for me as it is for them.
In a comic book store like that, do you know what the most valuable item is in the store? Do you have
our store? We don't really deal in like a lot of huge stuff. Like, we don't have an Amazing Fantasy 15. We don't have an Action Number One. Like, occasionally we'll get a guy, he needs money, and he's had a whole run of Walking Dead comics, and we'll buy them. That Walking Dead, we probably fetch about $1,500 now.
Wait, which issue?
Number one.
Okay, number one.
We could sell. Keep it because it's only going to go up. I would get it graded.
I sold Walking Dead 19 at C2E2 like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I got $400.
Yeah. First Michonne, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
not
correct.
Mistaken. Yeah.
Yep. Right in between season one and two.
Yeah.
So they teased that character at the end. And it went gangbusters, Rye. You wouldn't believe it.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So I would hold on to number one.
I'm holding on to it.
Yeah. New Moon's 98 is probably in the $400 range. First appearance of Deadpool. We do on the those kind of key issues, Spider-Man 129 for his Punisher, stuff like that.
You don't even know when Hulk premiered, right?
No, I have no idea.
181.
181.
That's Wolverine was Hulk.
Wolverine.
181.
Yes, in Hulk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hulk. Incredible Hulk almost got canceled at one point. So
really?
Yeah. It only went about six issues, and they relaunched it.
When are they going to make a good Incredible Hulk movie?
I don't think they are.
I don't know. It's tough, man. I don't know why. I don't know why. The formula is there. The mythological tale of a man getting so mad that he turns into a monster. That happens to every day. So
no doubt.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's tough. I was saying that the standalone Wonder Woman movie, for whatever reason, has taken this long for them to make it.
Well, at least we're finally going to get to see her on the big screen. I'm excited.
I'm very excited.
I agree. In this episode, we're actually going interested or ignore, we call it, on the new Batman vs. Superman movie. Are you interested? I take it you are. And what about it, the film draws you the
extremely
most
extremely interested.
Excited?
And it's just like, we've been I never thought I'd see a Batman fighting Superman on the big screen. Never. So that alone makes me interested.
I'll even take Affleck with it.
Yeah,
I was a little disappointed with the casting. Because I don't like Affleck.
Yeah. You don't see him as Batman?
No, I really think like he just directed Argo. He's past that point of his career.
I disagree.
Dude, I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong, but
Ming,
I'm worried.
He's usually wrong.
I see that. I think after this, you're gonna forget. You're gonna want us to forget that you said Affleck. He's gonna knock out of the park. I have no doubt.
I'm gonna own it.
I have no doubt.
Yeah. Now, we like to end all our guest interviews with some silly cinema cues.
Let's do it.
Get to know the guest through the eye of cinema. Elias, our engineer, you got something in the cannon?
Yes, definitely. So, Ming, here's the situation. The world is ending. There's an apocalypse.
Okay.
But there's two copies of, or one copy each, of Chasing Amy and Dogma. And you can only save one of these two movies.
Okay.
Which one would you save?
I'm saving Dogma, and that's only because I am in it. I'm sitting next to Jane, Silent Bob in the strip club. While Salma Hayek's taking her clothes off. So
that's a good
reason. I would want my memory to be preserved in the new world.
I can respect that.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
All right, great. One more. So if you could podcast with any superhero, which one would you podcast
Gotta be
with?
Batman. Gotta be Batman. I want to... He's just got that little level of crazy. Like, I would like to talk about crime fighting with him. How to... detective stories, science, how to build... I mean, you could literally launch a podcast network... Podcasting with Batman and or Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, and Kevin Smith has Batman on Batman.
Exactly.
Which is, basically
exactly.
The same thing. Oh, one more thing. So, huge Tell 'Em Steve Dave fan I am.
I see that.
And so, you were on there rapping, and
yes.
you did a great job.
Yes.
So, when you come to these cons, when you're alone in your hotel, do you still write some bars? Or
I'll write, but I think I may be toward the retirement portion of my rapping career. I think I'm going to come out on top. I've rapped against the best.
Yes.
The greats. Did I win or lose? That's up for you to decide. But I think I kind of hit some of the pinnacles of my career. And I don't want to go too long like Kanye West. I don't want to go bankrupt like him. You know, like I don't want to hit these pitfalls that I don't want to get shot like 50 Cent. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That
yeah.
Terrible.
Come out on top.
I don't want to see the resurrection of the East Coast, West Coast battles. No, I think I'm going to take my career and be happy with it.
Great answer.
I love it. And, we're doing our summer movie preview in this episode. Besides Batman vs. Superman, what other summer movie are you looking forward to the most?
Civil War and Suicide Squad, by far.
Both, huh?
Yeah, both of them, by far.
Those are great.
Yeah, I tell you.
Ming, on Twitter?
Yes.
What's your
Ming
handle?
Chen. It's MingChen37, MingChen37. I'm on Facebook, Ming Chen Comic Book Man. Instagram, same thing, MingChen37. Snapchat, Tumblr, every you name it, I'm on there.
All right, perfect.
Ah, man, Ming's great, isn't he? And don't worry, Jawheads, he will be back to judge a cinema war looking at Indiana Jones 5. That'll be pretty interesting.
It will be, yes.
Matt, as I mentioned, we're doing our summer movie preview. We're at C2E2. It always gets you excited for summer films because these are blockbusters.
This is where I shine.
Oh, so why don't you get us started this week, buddy?
All right, fine. At number
these are our top three, right?
Top three.
That's what we agreed to.
Yeah, three only. At number three, I have a movie, in all honesty, I'm a little worried about. But if I told you I wasn't really excited about it, I'd be lying. In fact, I'm wearing the T-shirt right now. My number three, Ghostbusters.
No. Come on.
What?
I saw the trailer. It looks awful. Matthew, this film looks terrible.
Well, I mean, sometimes trailers are bad, but movies are good.
I don't know. Originally on paper, the idea of women Ghostbusters was already a cash grab. It was the idea of let's rehash this entire movie with the old jokes, the slimy jokes. I didn't like it to begin with. Then the trailer dropped. Not a fan at all. I'm not even sure I'll see this movie.
I laughed out loud at the trailer.
At what part?
The Power of Patty Compels You, where she's slapping Melissa McCarthy around.
The one laughable scene.
Yeah, I laughed out loud. So it worked.
I don't know.
The special effects look a little too slick. I'm not going to lie. I'm worried about this movie, but I'm most excited about it. It is my number three, and I'm going to go see it the day it comes out.
Do we know for sure, and I'm not positive of this, that one of the original Ghostbusters is going to make a cameo in this movie?
I don't think we do know for sure.
I would probably say that's the only reason I'm going to go see it would be for the idea of
that
original
Which one would you like to see? Obviously not Harold Ramis. He's left us.
Yes. Bill Murray, for sure. I mean...
I thought it was announced that Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd are going to be in it.
Are they?
Yeah.
Throw that in the jaw box. Yep.
All right. You know what? I would just be happy with Dan Aykroyd.
Okay. There you go.
And you know what, Rye? Little story, backstory, ready? I had dinner with Dan Aykroyd one night.
You did.
And you know what we talked about the entire time?
Aliens.
Yes. But we did talk about Ghostbusters 3 a little bit.
He was trying to get it off the ground forever.
Yeah, and here we are. So that conversation has come to fruition.
Not well, here Matt, we are. Thanks. Not here we are.
Here
this
we are.
This is not Ghostbusters 3. This is a Ghostbusters rebooted. This is not a continuation of
you
the
You know
story.
What, though? I've seen it listed many places as Ghostbusters 3. This is the third Ghostbusters film.
Apple.
Call it what you will.
So because of that dinner, now we have Ghostbusters 3 because of Matt Kay.
Because of me.
Thanks, Matt.
The world is a worse place.
Wait till the movie comes Yikes. Out. Yeah, because I don't want to get blamed for it.
Swings it over to my number three, and it's funny, too. We got talking about we wanted to do a summer movie preview, and you had mentioned Suicide Squad possibly being on your list.
Sure.
And I actually gave you flack for the reason that it was coming out in, like, September, I believe.
Yeah, it's too
late.
Far away.
I had a film on my list, and I do have it listed at number three, and I looked at the release date, and it's actually September, so I'm sorry about
geez.
That. But I'm actually very, very excited for Oliver Stone's take on Snowden.
Well, now this can't be on your fall preview.
I agree. So I'm putting this on my summer movie preview. Snowden, played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Shailene Woodley is in here. Nick Cage. The foolish Nick Cage makes an appearance
oh, wow. He's
in
back.
Snowden. Directed by Oliver Stone, who I think is going to have a wonderful take on it. This is where he shines, right? He's done
yeah.
JFK.
Yeah.
He's done W. He has great political sense. He's got definitely an angle that he comes at. You know it's an Oliver Stone film, much like you know it's a Michael Moore movie, that kind of feel. And I've seen the documentary on Snowden, which was wonderful, on HBO, which was I recommend everybody checking out.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting topic, sort of a topic of our times. You know what I mean?
I think it's a topic that needs to hit the wider audience, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Oliver Stone is the vehicle to bring it to that wider audience. Yeah, agreed.
This comes out in September, which I had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So one tie that I had there at number three, and maybe I'm stealing one from you, but I had Finding Dory.
Yeah, you're stealing one.
Okay,
Jesus
all right.
Christ.
All right, we'll just get to your Finding Dory. That was my number three, all right? Snowden.
All right. You didn't mention two movies in your number three. All right, at number two, I have my one and only superhero movie on my list for the summer, Captain America Civil War at number two. I have to, Ryan.
I understand.
I mean, really, I'm so stoked for this movie. It's going to be the superhero movie of the summer. It's going to be the best one.
It's bigger than Batman vs. Superman?
I think so. In fact, I think it's going to be better than Age of Ultron was.
Oh, that's the second Avengers, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, and from what I hear, it's a piece of junk.
I'm so excited to see Spider-Man's debut in the Marvel Universe, the MCU, if you will.
You know what I'm shocked about? Watching these, and I know Spider-Man, is how it's he could be Benjamin Button because he's just getting younger and younger as the movies go on.
Well, that's the thing. Spidey has always been a teenager.
But I'm just saying, we'd already saw him as Tobey Maguire. The kid was already now older. Now it's Spider-Man. He's literally the Benjamin Button of the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Now he's like a 13-year-old.
He's 15.
All right. So
Peter Parker
this
is
ridiculous.
A teenager, man.
I can't
in high
keep
school.
Track. I can't keep track. Swinging over to my number two, film that I'm very excited about coming out this summer that it was completely off my radar, and then I saw the trailer and I got really excited, is a film starring Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling entitled The Nice Guys.
Yeah, it does look kind of interesting.
Very funny kind of film noir, jokey, right? It's directed by Shane Black, who wrote all the Lethal Weapon scripts.
Okay.
But he also directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which I highly recommend, with your buddy from Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And Val Kilmer. Love that film. So I'm excited to see Shane Black's take on this film. It's like his whole little creation. And the duo, when you see it in the trailer, I think work extremely well together. Crowe and Ryan Gosling, that is.
It's got like a little American Hustle meets Grand Theft Auto feeling.
Nice.
Right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
There's one scene in particular that I absolutely just love is when they come out of an elevator and they see, they're like at a hotel, like a Vegas hotel. It gives you that idea. Come out of an elevator and they're like, see a guy get shot in the lobby as he's falling through the window. And they're like, that wasn't good. They step back into the elevator, and it's a glass elevator, and they see the guy sort of like falling out of the window at that point. Wonderful kind of shot to the whole thing. It has great humor in there. And I usually don't think of Russell Crowe as being a comedic actor or Ryan Gosling. But for some reason, this movie, it seems like they're going to knock it out of the park.
I can't wait to see it.
The Nice Guys comes out on May 20th. I'm pumped for it.
Pumped.
Your number one movie number you're looking one. Forward to this summer. I think I spoiled it.
Yeah, you did spoil it. It is Finding Dory. And as a matter of fact, there's a lot of really great
animated films coming out this summer. Way lesser than a new Pixar film, but I am excited for Angry Birds. I'm excited for The Secret Life of Pets. I got kids, so naturally I'm going to go to these movies. But Finding Dory is the next entry in the Finding Nemo story. And Finding Nemo, I think it's arguable that is the best Pixar film.
It's tough. As I mentioned, I put on record that Inside Out is my number one.
Really?
It
wow.
It is. Inside okay. Out is my number one. But I would say that Finding Nemo, it's up there. It's top five for me.
That's why I said arguable. Yeah. And I think a lot of people would agree with me. Probably since Inside Out, a lot of people would agree with you. You might even be able to make a case for Toy Story. But you can't say Finding Nemo doesn't belong there. So here we have its sequel. And is it going to be any good? I don't know, man. It could suck. It could really, really suck.
But I don't think so. It's
could.
Pixar.
Yeah, but
when
I mean,
Pixar really sucked outside of Cars 2 and
Brave.
I wouldn't say
good
sucked.
Dinosaur.
I would say it's bad, not sucked.
I didn't even
I don't
see
even know if
good
they've
dinosaur.
Ever done a sucked movie.
Yeah, I think Cars 2 sucked.
All right, arguably, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
That's the only one.
Well, okay, all right, fine.
That's the only one I would give you. So I don't think we're in trouble
sucked territory.
No. No way. And you know what's funny, too, is I saw the trailer when Zootopia came out, and I was actually very excited by some of the small characters that I forgot.
Not a Pixar
film. The turtles.
Film.
I know, but this is just the trailer that, you know, finally got to see.
Oh, you
the
saw
story.
The trailer. Okay, gotcha.
That's what I mean. And I got to see these characters I sort of forgot about that I did really like
Bruce
in Finding
Shark.
Nemo. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fun to return to that underwater world.
Agreed. I'm excited to get back to that world, and I think that is the one I'm most excited about this summer.
Swings it over to my number one, and I think people who listen to the show know a lot. I'm not.
Oh, it's Woody Allen's new movie, right?
I am not usually the big fan of these blockbuster action films, but
no.
There is actually a series out there that I adore, and I love it. And I've named it. We did our favorite film series, and I named it two or three on my list of all time. That's how what a fan I am. I am speaking of Jason Bourne. And he returns, and I had mixed feelings when I first heard that Matt Damon was going to come back as Jason Bourne.
He's still young.
But I was very happy with the three Bourne films. And I had mentioned, I don't want a fourth. I was so against doing a fourth Bourne film, especially without Matt Damon. Yet I went and I saw it, and it was decent with Jeremy Renner. I'm not going to say it was great by any means, but they pulled it off. Now to go back, and Paul Greengrass is directing, who did Bourne 2 and 3,
mm-hmm.
which was Bourne Supremacy and Ultimatum.
Mm-hmm.
So he did those two, and obviously worked extremely well with Matt Damon. So at that point, it's like, well, all right, the director's back, Matt Damon's back, and Alicia Vikander, who just won Best Supporting Actress, is now in the Bourne film. It seems like everything is on target to be a blockbuster. Let's see it, man.
Everything's turning up Bourne.
Boo.
No, I'm excited too, man. I think it's going to be good.
It's going to be a good summer, I think. Too many comic book movies, no doubt.
Yeah, but we just saw a samurai Batman walk by?
You never know what you're going to get.
I'm extremely easily distracted by all this.
You are.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back, Ming Chen is going to judge a cinema war on Indiana Jones 5 plus. A huge shout out to our intern, Phil, for helping us out here at C2E2. Phil is going to be taking you on in Batman Superman actor movie trivia. We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Cinema Jaw is brought to you by LaunchTheHustle.com. Are you searching for a new vision? Do you need a new spark of motivation? Are you ready to take action? Well, get ready to get your game to the next level at LaunchTheHustle.com. Grab the gear, join the crew, and show us your hustle. Check out LaunchTheHustle.com or on Snapchat and Instagram, and we thank them for their support. And by the Juggernaut Film Festival. The fourth annual Juggernaut Film Festival will be held April 9th from noon to 5:30 p.m. This one-day event celebrates science fiction and fantasy short films from around the world. This lively event will be held in Chicago's historic Music Box Theater and hosted by none other than us, the Cinema Jaw crew. Come on out and meet us. Go to otherworldtheater.org for more information and to get tickets. And if you use the offer code CINEMAJAW50, you will get tickets for just $10. Can't beat that. And we thank them for their support.
To get ourselves a treat.
And we are back on Cinema Jaw, hanging out at C2E2 here at McCormick Place. It's really growing on me, Matt. Everybody dressed up. I'm getting my geek on.
I like to see all the costumes, and it was really cool seeing R2-D2 rolling around. Did you catch that one?
I did see it, yeah.
Yeah, and dude, that little girl dressed as BB-8.
So wonderful.
Adorable.
She was dressed. It was so amazing. She was in, like, roller skates. She had, like, a ballerina tutu on that was had these patches of BB-8 on, a biker's helmet on. Yep. Everybody taking pictures in the entire lobby.
So
it
adorable.
Was awesome. It
yeah,
was awesome.
Man. Yeah. I hope she's listening, or her parents or something.
We gave her stickers, so hopefully.
Yep.
Now, Matt, before we get to trivia, before we get to Cinemore, we did throw an item into the jaw box, and I know Elias wants to finally pop out of that box.
That poor guy. We've just been dragging it along the floor.
We have. I mean, Phil, we put our intern in charge of lugging the jaw box all the way from the Green Line about 5 blocks down to McCormick Place to get the jaw box here.
Dragging it the whole time.
Oh, let's open up that jaw box.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
The box.
We got a box! Oh, what's in the box?
What's going on, guys? Thank you for letting me out. Sounds like you've been having a lot of fun here at C2E2. I'm glad now I get to maybe experience it. We're in a lobby, I see, so, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wait till you see all the people in costume.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Can you tell what I'm cosplaying as right now?
Hellraiser?
Rye, you got a guess?
Walter White?
What are you cosplaying as?
I am not cosplaying, Matt. I just want some clothes is all I'm trying to get.
Oh, okay.
Can you please? Yeah.
My next guest was Mad Max.
Yeah, one of those guys, right? Yeah,
right.
Because I'm all pale and I've been huffing this
paint.
That's
not a costume.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, we did have one question you threw in the jaw box. It was, are any of the old Ghostbusters in the new film? So I did confirm Dan Aykroyd is in it. I did confirm. Ernie Hudson is in it.
Ooh, nice.
Winston.
I did confirm from IMDb that Bill Murray is in it. But
ladies, all the surviving
ladies
Ghostbusters.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sigourney Weaver is also in it.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
I am now interested in this movie.
Right?
See?
I am now interested.
That does a lot for
That's
you.
That's huge.
Elias sold me on it. You did not, Matt.
There is no Dana, only Zool.
All right. You know what, Rye? We also do the feedback segment. And when we opened the jaw box, I just wanted to mention real quick, we had a shout out from Stuff You Should Know podcast. Congrats to them, by the way. They had just hit number one on the iTunes charts, overall iTunes charts. And that episode that dropped that day on Mass Hysteria, they mentioned Cinema Jaw about 15 minutes in. That was really awesome that they talked about us.
Yeah. So if for some reason you've never listened to Stuff You Should Know,
Yes.
Yeah.
We were big fans of Josh and Chuck.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love those guys and welcome any new listeners who might have come along.
Yeah. Well said.
Thanks.
I'll get back in that jaw box.
All right.
Matt, it brings us to a segment called
Cinema War.
And Cinema War works like this. This is where we argue on a topic each week, Matthew. And our guest this week, Ming Chen, gets to play judge, jury, and executioner tell the jawheads at home who he thinks won the Cinema War.
Yep.
And it's important because we're fighting for 20 seconds of jaw time to rant and rave on whatever
we
want.
This is a big debate.
Indiana Jones 5 was announced. Heck, Elias, tell the jawheads at home what today's Cinema War topic is.
Today's Cinema War topic, is a fifth Indiana Jones movie a good idea, or should they have left this series alone? Rye, you'll be fighting for they should have left this alone. Matt, you'll be fighting for it. It's great to see another Indiana Jones movie. Let this adventurous cinema war begin.
Matt, I can see it now. A giant boulder rolling toward Indiana Jones. Indy, frantically pushing his wheelchair as fast as he can, trying to outwheel it. The screen goes dark, and we see a flat Indiana Jones. Leave it alone, man.
All right, here's the best reason for another Indy picture. Crystal Skull was a steaming pile. It even gave us Nuke the Fridge as the new version of Jump the Shark. It was barely even a movie. Indy cannot go out on that note. Fortune and glory, kid.
Matt, I can picture it, all right? A stone door is starting to close down on Indiana Jones. At the last minute, he reaches under the door to grab his cane.
Pretty much the same point as your last one.
I love Dr. Jones as much as the next guy, but come on, you got to leave it alone, man.
All right, let's be honest. This will be the story of Indy's truly last adventure. Most likely the character is going to die in this movie, and I want to know how the story of Indiana Jones ends.
All right. I really do see it this time, Matt. A bald, scary-looking voodoo witch doctor is going to rip out Indiana Jones's heart with his bare hand. However, he's accidentally electrocuted by Indy's pacemaker. When the movie comes out, Harrison Ford is going to be 77 years old. Oh. I want to forever remember my Indiana Jones as a cool archaeologist.
All right, much like every other Star Trek movie, the Indiana Jones movies have followed that same cadence. The last one sucked. This one's going to be good. I've got hope.
Last point here, Matt. Crystal Skull, as you said, painful enough. We had three great Indiana Jones, and we can always go back to those films, watch them with a smile. I would much rather Spielberg and Harrison Ford collaborate on something new. I, for one, don't want to see Short Round visiting Indiana Jones in a retirement home.
All right, my last point. Harrison and Spielberg are back. Shia LaBeouf is not attached. I think they learned a lot from Force Awakens, and they're going to return to what made this franchise work in the first place. Like you said, this is not the previous one. This is a new entry.
Ooh, we are button heads here on Cinema War. We throw it over to Ming, our judge, our jury. What did you think of this Cinema War?
Well, gentlemen, I'm a man of second chances. And as such, King of the Crystal Skull, garbage.
Garbage.
The Crystal Skulls looked like they were stuffed with tinfoil. The Mutt character, Shia LaBeouf, awful. It started out great and tanked from the monkeys, the giant ants. It was awful. I think they know what not to do now, and you were correct. You cannot end an Indiana Jones movie on that note. And he must come out on top. I believe they will do so.
So that's a win for Matt K?
That's a win for you. And another point, I actually had the pleasure of meeting Ke Kwan, who played Short Round last year. The man has aged well. He looks like Short Round. And I think coming, it's not. It won't be a geriatric version. Did you not see Han Solo? Still a badass, even
at
75, 76, 77.
This is true.
And I think he can pull this next movie off.
We were talking. Do you think that Spielberg and Harrison Ford have the guts to actually kill off Indiana Jones? Do you think that could happen?
I think it can happen. I actually think it will happen. We saw it in Star Wars. We will see it here.
Oof. All right, Ming. Thanks so much for your time, man. It's been a pleasure talking
Absolutely.
To you.
Matt, that earns you 20 seconds to rant and rave on whatever you want.
All right, Ryan, here we are at the start of another summer season, and I think it is time you end the ban. I may have spent another 20 seconds on this lately, but it bears repeating. Can you end the ban?
I will not.
End the ban.
I love that it's bothering you.
It's not bothering
me. Yes, it is.
No,
you keep bringing it up. It is under your skin.
A little bit. You got to see these movies.
I'm not going to see
Civil
War.
You're not going to see Captain America?
No.
Wow. End the ban.
All right.
That's my 20 seconds. Hey, Jawheads, if you're listening, tweet at Rye the Movie Guy and tell him to end the ban.
Yeah. Watch some comic book movies, Rye. It's about time.
Agreed.
Brings us to a segment called, I'm joking, brings us to one of everybody's favorite segments, trivia.
Okay.
And you know what? Whenever we come to these remotes, we obviously need help. And our intern, Phil, who's been gracious enough.
Oh, my God. Dragging the Jawbox around.
Incredible.
And I don't know what Elias weighs, but it's got to be 85 pounds.
This is soaking wet. Yes.
So we decided to give Phil a big shot here because over beers last night at the Hyatt Bar after C2E2 day one, Phil was literally running his mouth about how he would beat Matt in almost every trivia that he's ever heard. This is what he was saying. And Matt, this is when you went home. It was
three Heinekens deep, right?
Yes, three Heinekens deep. It was me, Elias, and Phil. And Phil was just blabbing on and on about how he would whip you in trivia. Yeah. So we decided to give him a shot.
You're going down, son.
Phil?
No, I'm not, I guess.
Way to sound confident, Phil.
All right, trivia works like this. It's 8 questions. Phil, you're our intern, so you get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals, and if you get hung up on a question, you get one trip to the ER. Elias Rodriguez has clues to all the questions.
After careful analysis and watching, not watching, but being there for all of the recordings, I know for a fact that it's superlatively beneficial for me to go first.
Question number one over to Phil. What a genius this guy is.
I know, this guy really thought about it.
Very.
But now he's going to read the question he was going to read to me, to you.
I need all the help I can get so he can do that.
All right, question number one over to you, Phil, in Batman Superman actor movie trivia. Christian Bale, who played Batman 3 times, won his only Academy Award for his role in this boxing movie that also starred Mark Wahlberg.
I feel like it was The Fighter, but The Fighter.
All wow, right. Question
Got
one.
Right.
Boy, that would have been embarrassing if you missed question one. Question two over to Matt Kay. Just last year, Henry Cavill starred alongside Armie Hammer in this spy film based on a television show. Name it.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
1-1. We got a ball game here.
Army Hammer.
Phil. Question three over to him. Ben Affleck is the only actor to play both Batman and Superman in the movies. He portrayed George Reeves in this 2006 film. Name it.
Oh, man. What came out when I was in sixth grade?
Wow. Oh, man. Really man, drilling man, that
I
hole.
I know. Boy, oh, boy.
Argo seems way too late, man. That's what I'm going to have to go with, but that seems like I was way too old for that.
Pretty sure there was no Superman in Argo.
Well, yeah, that too.
Matt, you got a chance for a steal and to take the lead.
Okay.
Ben Affleck played George Reeves in this 2006 film.
Searching for Superman.
Something
like that.
No, that's actually a title of a film, which is a documentary based on the educational system here in America. I highly recommend checking that particular film out. But we were looking for Hollywoodland.
Yeah.
What the Hollywood hell is that? Land.
Yes. No, I remember it, but...
Quality film, Phil. Check it out, Hollywoodland. It is still 1-1. Now question four is over to Matt Kay. In 1996, Val Kilmer starred alongside Superman's dad, Marlon Brando, in a film about human and animal DNA being mixed together. Name the movie.
The Isle of Dr. Moreau.
Ooh, do we give it to him? Sure.
Yeah?
Island. The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, okay.
Close enough. We're giving it to you.
I think the book is The Isle of Dr. Moreau.
There you go. Well, it is 2-1, Matt K. Yes, exactly. Question five over to Phil the intern. This actor, who has portrayed either Batman or Superman in the movies, has also appeared in films titled Table for Three, Crooked Arrows, and Missing William. Name this actor.
This is
in the movies, so you got a limited choice here.
All right. I'm definitely going to take an ER on this one. I'm not sure how much help it'll be, but we're taking it.
Trip to the ER, Elias Rodriguez. Name the actor who also appeared in Crooked Arrows, Missing William, and Table for Three.
Your clue is he was also in The Arrow, the TV show, and in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Oh,
man, I thought some younger generational movies would help you out there.
Yeah, I'm terrible with names. Like, I highly doubt that it was Michael Cera. Like, a 0% chance.
Now, you got to remember, this guy played Batman or Superman in the movies. What actors have portrayed Superman or Batman?
I don't know.
Limit here.
I'm a terrible nerd. I'm going to guess it's Pretty Boy from The Man of Steel, but I don't know what his name is.
That would be Henry Cavill.
Oh no, I doubt that then. All right, I redact that.
Pick a Batman then.
Oh, man. Michael Keaton.
Wow. Matt, you got a chance for a steal and to break this game wide open.
He has played Batman.
Or Superman.
And he was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Henry Cavill.
Wow.
I really don't know.
I can't believe how bad you guys are. We are at C2E2. This is ridiculous.
Real quick, does anybody know? Another clue is going to be his initials are BR. Does anybody even have an idea?
B. Arthur?
We were looking for Brandon Roth.
Oh, Brandon Routh.
Yeah.
However Same you different. Say it. Oh, yeah. There you go. Jeez.
My next guess was Mae Whitman.
It's actually his name is actually pronounced Yesterday's News.
Wow. It is still 2-1, Matt K. They only get
Yesterday's
harder here,
Daily
too,
Planet.
I tell you. Question six over to Matt. What was the name of the football movie George Clooney, who has played Batman, starred in and also directed?
Leatherheads.
Wow.
3-1, Matt K. He is about to beat the intern.
Thank God. No offense, Phil, but geez, thank God.
Question seven. You need both these, Phil.
They would never let me hear the end of it if you won.
Phil, after Superman 2, Christopher Reeve starred in Death Trap. Opposite this actor who won an Academy Award for his work in Hannah and His Sisters and also The Cider House Rules, name him.
Well, it's Glenn Close. I'm going to pull a Matt Kay and use... I have no idea.
We're looking for an actor, and he goes, Glenn Close. I love it. This
guy
is wonderful.
Well, Glenn, you know, like Glenn Danzig.
All right, Matt. Christopher Reeve starred in Death Trap with this actor who won Academy Awards for Hannah and Her Sisters and Cider House Rules.
I'm going to go to the ER on this one. I don't know.
A Trip to the ER, Elias Rodriguez. Name that actor from Cider House Rules.
Your clue is he played Alfred in the Christopher Nolan universe.
Oh, really? I wish I could do a good impersonation of Michael Caine. That was horrible.
Size of a tangerine.
If you say my cocaine, like Michael Caine, it sounds like you're saying my cocaine.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Phil.
Wonderful. It is now 4-1. It's all over. The game's over, but save some face here. Matt, last question.
Yeah, well, how's he going to save face?
Yeah, you're right. You might just answer it straight out. Name the movie Michael Keaton did right before he did Batman. He starred alongside Christopher Lloyd and Peter Boyle.
One of my favorites, The Dream Team.
Wow. Nailed it.
Love that movie.
I do, too. Highly underrated. I think people have sort of missed it. It's one of those.
It's forgotten.
It's forgotten. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Go back and watch
The Dream Team.
Clearly,
these guys don't
know
it.
I've never seen it. I definitely will watch that.
I love that movie.
We are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
I love that film. Wow, you clobbered
Phil's
the
underage,
intern.
Matt. Yeah, you can't.
Sorry, I'll put it back on.
Can I get a handshake here between Phil and Matt? There was
a
jawbreaker.
Sorry for where that hand's just been, Phil.
Yes.
Mine are equally as clammy.
In case there was a tie.
They weren't anywhere.
A lot of clammy hands here at C2E2.
In case there was a tie, this question would have been over to Phil. If you could star in a movie as one of the two superheroes, which would it be, Batman or Superman, Phil?
Batman's a better character, I think, but I feel like Superman I would have more fun in front of a green screen with and having people shoot lasers out of my
incorrect.
Eyes.
Incorrect. It would have been Batman. Phil would make a much better Batman than Superman.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I'm more of a Robin.
You can see that, too.
The real jawbreaker was this. Age of Christopher Lloyd. We got to ask Phil, do you know Christopher Lloyd?
No.
Have you seen Back to the Future?
Oh.
Doc.
Okay.
Got to clarify for these youngins. Christopher Lloyd, Doc from Back to the Future, how old is he now? Matt, you got to guess?
73.
Lock him in at 73, Elias. Phil, you got to guess?
I was going to say 68.
Give that one to Matt Kay. 77.
Wow.
77 for
he's still looking good, but wow, he's old.
Oh, he time travels.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
Nice.
So you don't actually know if this is Christopher Lloyd nowadays or if it was Christopher Lloyd from 1956. You just don't know.
He can go back and switch himself out.
Yeah.
We got to do something about your kids, Rye.
That'll be the day.
Go back to the future.
Make sure that
never happens.
And I'm sad that we're coming to an end of a great episode here at C2E2. First and foremost, we got to thank our guest.
Yeah, thanks to Ming Chen for being on the show. Awesome to have him on.
It is. And especially when you have an event like this at C2E2, you're getting pulled every which way. So to get somebody to sit down with you for as long as Ming sat with us, thanks again. That was awesome.
Huge. Thank you.
We also got to thank our sponsors.
Yeah, thanks to all the sponsors. And thanks to C2E2 for having us here.
Absolute blast. We also got to thank Phil, the intern, for helping us out here, and also Elias Rodriguez, the best engineer in the biz.
Thank you, guys. Jawheads, Saturday, April 2nd, I will be in Goshen, Indiana for the River Bend Film Fest for my film T-Man Steep, playing at the historic Goshen Theater. Also, I will be in New Jersey, Asbury Park, hopefully hanging out with Ming Chen, because he's actually hosting the award ceremony for the Hang On To Your Shorts Film Fest, which my other short film, Think Twice, is playing at.
Nice.
So I will hopefully have another beer with him over there, and hope to see you jawheads there too.
Please subscribe to us on iTunes. All the subscriptions and reviews on iTunes help attract new listeners.
And we are also on Instagram at CinemaJaw there, where I will be posting pictures of all the crazy ass people that are dressed up as stuff I don't even know.
Yeah, and follow us on Facebook. Give us a like. Facebook.com/CinemaJaw. And write us some feedback. Feedback@CinemaJaw.com.
We're also on Twitter @CinemaJaw. We're @CinemaJaw everywhere on social media. Until next week, I'm Ry the Movie Guy.
I'm Matt Kay.
And keep on jawing about the movies.